Joshua 24. All right, Sunday mornings we've been looking at making the right choice, how to make the right choices, and what to do. The Bible's very clear to us, gives us clear instruction on how to and why to make the right choices. All right, Joshua 24, if you know your Bibles, you kind of know where I'm going. We're going to go down to verse 15, if you will, verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 15. Notice what it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell." Now notice this, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Jump down to verse 22, please. Verse 22. "And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem." Now the sad story we know happens is that what? They do not keep their promise. They do not keep their covenant, do they? We will serve. They don't. We will. Sadly, the generations that would come would fall back into idolatry. Our world today, America, has fallen back into idolatry. We've come full circle. We started out, came all the way back around. We're back to an idolatrous state. We know that. And I thank you for praying for our world, praying especially for our nation. We need prayer, and we need more of it. And I hope you include that in your daily prayer time, in your daily devotions, in your prayer requests or prayer list or prayer devotions. Lord, help America. We need revival in America. We pray for that all the time. I doubt it's coming. I hate to be pessimistic, but I doubt it's coming. We see as we walk through the Bible, and we have been, that we find the nation of Israel is a nation that God chose. Now, you remember back in Deuteronomy, he says, I didn't choose you because you were big in number. I didn't choose you because you were good looking. I didn't choose you because you were strong, because you had weaponry. Why'd he choose you? Because he loved them. He loved them. And you know that. And Abraham got the heart of God, didn't he? He looked down and saw Abraham, and he got the heart of God. And out of him came a great and mighty nation we know today as God's people. But he says, I didn't choose you. Now today as we look at our choices in life, we've gone through this over the last couple of weeks. But who you are today is the product of our choices over time. Some of you, I don't know what age you're at, and I won't guess. I get in trouble when I do that kind of stuff. You have made choices in your life to be here today, where you are today. There's a lot of bitter fruit in our lives because of the choices we made, right? 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, bitter fruit. We must understand today that God has given to us the ability to choose. Now, let me say, as I clarified last week, very clearly here, listen up real quick. You and I don't have to make the wrong choice. If you make the wrong choice, now we're fallible people, we're sinful people, we live in the fallen state. If we make the wrong choice, it's because this wasn't in our lives. We can be successful. That's a Bible word. What's he tell Joshua? You want true success? Where did you find it? In the book of this law. You follow the book, Joshua. Sure enough, Joshua did just that. We don't have to make the wrong choices. You and I don't have to stand before God one day and say, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Stand before God one day, very soon, by the way, very soon, and say, well, Lord, I didn't know. I wasn't sure if I should. I thought I should, but man, nope. The Bible says that every mouth will be stopped. That carries with it that we will not have any excuses, right? No excuses. No more. No more. Now, thinking about this today, our choices, the choices you're making in your life, are they glorifying to Him? Let me say this again, that the choice is made very easy for you and I. Jesus puts it this way in the New Testament. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve both. What's he saying? Make a choice. One thing that people can't get over and can't get around, I try and share these tracts with people and it has the gospel on it, but I always tell them, I said, hey, do you know you're saved? Do you know you're going to heaven when you die? You know what they say? That's none of your business. And I've heard it before, many times over. And I say, well, a matter of fact, it, as the great pastor, I think it was Moody put it, he said, it is my business. And I tell them, well, I'm a pastor. And they go, oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, it is your business. But you got to make a choice. One thing they can't get over is the exclusivity of Jesus. He's exclusive. I am not a way. I am the way. It's a definite, not indefinite, right? You and I must make the decision. Now, you dear people today, praise God for you. You've made the decision to follow Christ. You've made the decision to accept Him as your Savior. I hope you have. You've made the decision to be in church today. We are given choices, but it's made easy for us. Jesus said, choose. Make the choice today. It's not hard and difficult. We can. Jesus also goes on to say this, and you know this very well, I'm sure, having put his hand to the plow and looketh back, is what? He's not fit for the kingdom. What's he saying? The man made a choice to put his hand to the plow and follow Christ, but then he stopped and turned around and said, ah, man, my old life, my old lifestyle, my old ways, man, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. Do you know you won't have a lot of affinity or love for the former life if you're in this book? It's when I close this book, I'm preaching to myself, when I close this book at home and in my daily life, I start getting an eye for the things behind me. I start getting an eye and a stirring in my heart for the things I used to do and the people I used to be with and remembering those highs and remembering those feelings and remembering all that. Oh, it's because that book's closed. It's closed in my life. What's he saying? Make a choice. Make a choice. Let's go on. Revelation 3 talks about what? He goes through the churches, those seven churches of Asia Minor. Do you remember what that one last one was? What's he say? I wish or would prefer or would desire that you were either cold or hot. But since you're lukewarm, it makes me want to vomit or spew you out, is the word. It's sickening to me, Jesus says. And to Jesus Christ today, a church that is neither cold nor hot makes him sick. And I say that with all reverence. But you think about today. This is exactly what he's saying. Make a choice, church at Laodicea. Make a choice. Choose. By the way, it's not the people's church. Okay, it's God's church. People don't decide what goes on. We ask the Lord what he wants us to do, right? We know that and we understand it. And it's that very thing. Choose today where you are. If you're lukewarm today in your Christianity, you're lukewarm, you say, well, I'm not where I should be, Brother Tim. I used to be hotter than that. I used to be a little warmer than that. My friends, you don't got to live in that state of lukewarmness, do you? You can get going. You can shift gears and move forward and be who you and I are supposed to be. Okay, again. So Joshua is saying, make the choice. Romans chapter 1 clarifies, when they knew God, verse 21, when they knew God, what'd they do? Did they glorify Him as God? No, they glorified Him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations. It's all about vanity. When you worship an idol made with your own hands, it's vain, it's vanity. Now, we don't worship a golden idol or golden calf. We've got these things. I got trouble with that. And you think about that today in our world. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Did you think, sir? Paul says they didn't glorify him. They made a choice to not glorify him for who he is. Okay, let's get into this now. That was all just the introduction. Amen? Amen. Number one, the choice. Notice in our text, go back to verse 15. The choice to go back. There's the choice to go back. He says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Now here we go, the first one. He gives a list of, here you go, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. So there we go. The choice today for us can be, one, to go back. When we're faced with challenges, when we're faced with difficulties, the choice comes and we can go back. Notice what he says. The gods which your fathers served. Past tense. It will often seem easier to go back to the life that you lived before serving Christ and knowing Him. Now notice these two things, and I want to encourage you with them. We can be challenged with adversity, and we can be challenged with apathy. Those two A words. Adversity and apathy, the two biggest killers in our Christianity today. They kill people. I'm talking spiritually killing them. They just put them on the wayside. The adversary comes and he brings adversity with him. And what do? We stop what we're doing for Christ and we step to the side. Say, God, I can't do it. I can't handle it. You and I, we know this must apply the armor of God daily. We must prepare ourselves for the battle. If you've lived 2 days as a Christian, you know this to be true. There's a real enemy out there and he's a real war going on. And it's facing us every day, every day. That's why we got to be prepared. The choice to go back. The apathy that can come. There's an apathetic nature about our churches today and about our pastors today and about our people today. Apathy. Let's just go back. They already dealt with this already, didn't they? Moses is up in the mount receiving the great oracles from God. And what happens? The people are down in the valley having a big party and an orgy and dancing around the golden calf. And they come down off the mountain. By the way, Joshua was helping. Joshua was encouraging Moses. And they come down off the mountain. What? He says, boy, it sounds like war. And Moses says, that's not the sound of war. That's the sound of our people chanting and worshiping at the golden calf. I.e., the music of today. Very similar to that, isn't it? Bunch of noise. Bunch of noise. And you think through this. You can go back, and they already dealt with this. Now we fast forward a little bit in the Old Testament. We find during the time of the reign of David, Solomon especially, they went back. Solomon said, oh God, give me wisdom. Oh God, I want to serve thy people. Oh God, I can't handle. And that was a good thing. God said, since you didn't ask for women, money, wealth, popularity, I'm going to give you the wisdom you've sought. Well, what happens later on? You know the story. Those women, those people, those individuals around him, by the way, who you surround yourself with will tell us a lot of who you are. They turned, and the Bible says in the latter time, they turned his heart away from God. They turned his heart. Let me say, you have friends that are turning your heart away from God. You need to kindly separate yourself from them. And it could be a grown adult child of yours, too. It could be a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, somebody. I mean, literally, it could be someone that is, Mama, Daddy, why are you going to church again? What are you getting involved with church again for? I'm sorry, son. That's my conviction. Now, we're going to see this in a minute here with Joshua. He says, that's for me and my house. He spoke for his house. So you think about it. He said, we can go back. My friends, don't go back. Don't go back. Today is the day in your life when you get rid of the apathy, when you get rid of the things. I've been falling and drifting back, Brother Tim, to where I once was. Stop it. Stop it right now. Stop the bleeding. Stop. You know where that goes. You know what that life brings. You know you've been there many times. Stop it. Get back and get right with God. I don't know for you, you may need to shut something off. You may need to close an app. You may need to get rid of something. You may need to spend more time out than outside in your garden, more time in your Bible. And you think about today, are we where we're supposed to be? Why? Because we have a tendency to go back. Now, any old fish can float down the stream, but right, we got to swim against the stream. I watched that documentary the other day. I think it was on National Geographic or something. But those fish, you've seen them? Man, they swim up the stream, swim. Oh, so much effort. And they jump. Up, and what? The bear's there, grabs him. Boom. And I went, psst. Felt so bad for that fish. After all the work he did, feels like that in life, don't it? All the work I did, there's a grizzly bear waiting for me. No. There's light at the end of the tunnel. You realize it's a freight train coming, right? You know to be true. Don't go back. Okay, don't go back. We follow through. Not once in the Bible do we find that the Lord, the Father, the Son, nor the Holy Spirit to the church today ever tells us to sit back and just take it easy. Do you find that? Not once. Jesus came to a man, you know the story. And he came and he got off the boat. He went to the other side of the lake. And here came the maniac. He's a crazy, possessed guy, right? And a guy comes running at him. The guy's naked. He's cutting himself. He's crazy. He's a lunatic. His nails are long. His hair is long. He's matted. He's nasty. He makes a beeline for Jesus Christ and the apostles. Can you imagine them going, holy moly. Jesus, not one time you'll find in the Bible, was ever intimidated or scared or fearful. Not one time. The mark of his deity. And Jesus just stood there and watched them come full sprint right to him. I've had people in my life, you may have had too, I've had men get about this close to me, you know, about that far from my face. You may have had an incident like that before in your life too, but he made a beeline. And Jesus just stood there, and what happened? And the man falls down on his face and says what? Oh, Lord, the Holy One, I know who you are. Are you come to torment me before the time? And the long story short, anyways, Jesus, what, casts out the demons. And the Bible says he's now sitting clothed and in his right mind. Oh, I love that. Because when you come to Christ and you give your heart to him, he gives you clarity. It's called spiritual sanity in the Bible. People live in an alternate reality, don't they? The Bible gives you clarity, a spiritual sanity. But that's what he does. What's he do? He cleanses. He makes whole. Jesus Christ then tells the man, he says, can I come with you? He tried to get up on the boat. You remember the story? And Jesus said, no. He says, well, I want to come with you, Lord. He says, no, I want you to go back into town, go back home and tell everyone what happened to you. Turn around and go tell everyone what happened. What did we say? He never once advocates an apathetic nature. He didn't say, okay, now sit back and rest and relax till Jesus comes. He tells the lady with the issue of blood, who touched me? She touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole in an instant. And she could have turned around and just went home. She wanted all the benefits of Jesus Christ, but didn't want to give him anything. That sounds like me. He said, who touched me? What did he say? I want you to come out publicly in front of everybody and tell them what happened to you. I touched Jesus. It was him. My friends, today I want to encourage you with that. There's no reason you should go back. Jesus is calling us to go forward and serve him. I don't know how much time you have left on this earth. I don't know how much time. Lord willing, you'll have many more years. But we're not guaranteed. Just heard of the news of another friend. A younger man passed away, died. And you scratch your head sometimes and go, why, Lord? I don't understand it, but we don't got a lot of time, friends, do we? And the Bible says as you see the day approaching, you ought to be serving Christ more. And in that context, especially of Hebrews 10:25, he says you ought to assemble yourself more in the house of God as you see the day approaching. Woe be to the Christian who dies outside of the will of God and who dies outside of the church of God, if you understand what I'm saying. Woe be to them. And Paul says that we may be found of him in peace when that day comes. We're with the Lord. We're right with him. He deserves our full attention. Full attention. I tell my kids all the time, are you listening to me? And they stare right into my eyes and go, yes. I said, what did I just say? I don't know. Your wife ever, are you listening? Yes. What did I say? Can you repeat it again? One more time. We're not listening, are we? He deserves our full attention, doesn't he? Doesn't he? He died for our sins. He daily lives, the Bible says, making intercession for us. He daily works in our lives to protect us and keep us and help us. My friends, today you're sitting here breathing, sucking air. I hope you're alive. Praise God for another day, amen? And he deserves our full attention. Now, the gods which they served did nothing for them. The gods that they served were blind gods, were the creation of man's hand. And I say today that there is one God, and he sits on the throne today. One. There is none other. There is a God, lowercase G-O-D, of this world, but we have a supreme God. And Paul asks the question, what is the fruit of those things or of those idols that you serve? What is the fruit of that? We find it to be true in the New Testament. Okay, I must hurry here. Number two, though, we see not only the choice to go back, the choice to give in. The choice to give in. Okay, let's look at the next one. Were there the gods which your father served? Other side of the flood. Notice the next. Or the gods, lowercase g, of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. We have another choice given to us. You can go back or you can give in. the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. That's the god of this world. That's the world you live in and I live in today. 2 Corinthians 4 says, the god of this world, the god of this world, he blinds the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. The god of this world is seeking daily to blind individuals. Now the unsaved people, he desires to blind and take the gospel away so they'll never accept it. For you and I, the adversary, you know this, he's seeking daily to try and destroy us, trip us up, hinder us, get us to backslide, get us to quit serving God, and ultimately get into such a state of sin that we're causing more people to turn away from Christ than bringing them to Christ. And that's called the calling home of God, and he will take us home if that's necessary. Now you think about that. He is daily striving. Now you, those of you that live daily in this world, you know that's true. Do you ever get just frustrated with everything that goes on? I mean, I don't mean the big things, but the little things. You stub your toe, your tire's flat, the coffee maker won't work. You want to throw it out the window, amen? You have those just daily little things. And some of you men and women in here that have big projects and big companies and all the stuff you have to deal with. There is something in this world that is against us. And if you deny that, there's something off. You know that. When Adam and Eve sinned, they went. And as they did before, she went to the rose garden. And she went to smell those beautiful, beautiful roses. And she went and grabbed it, and thorns pierced right through her hand. And she went, oh, ow. They weren't there before. Sin has brought that into this world. And our adversary works daily to do that. And he says, Joshua says, now you can go back and serve those gods. You can go back and serve what you used to serve. You can even secondly stay here and serve the gods that are around you. What were the gods of the Amorites? You read your Bible. I don't have time this morning. They, later on, we would read more of it, were gods that would require sacrifice. They were gods that required you to take your three-day-old baby and put them on the fire, America. They would require you to take your children, your 13 and 12-year-old boy, and sell them as a male prostitute, America, right? I'm not saying anything that's shocking today. We know that. That's the gods that they served. Those were the people around them that they served. Now think about that. We don't have to give in. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be put down. You're going to be made fun of at work. They're going to call you Bible thumper. They're going to make fun of you at school for serving and being pure and being a virgin and being holy. They'll make fun of you. They'll castigate you. They'll put you aside. But my friends, you must understand this. We don't have a choice. Why would you live that way when you face all of that persecution? You say to that person, I don't have a choice. I serve the risen Savior, and He deserves my full attention. Are we serving the gods of this land in which we dwell? This is not our land. This is not our world. Don't forget that. This is not our home. We're just passing through. This is the world that is controlled by the devil, by the adversary, by Satan. There is spiritual wickedness in high places. The people that run this world, whoever they may be, powers in high places, they are not for Jesus Christ. They are against Him. They're against the church. They want our kids. They want them. They want to turn our kids into something that we can't talk about today. They want to get 3 and 4 and 5-year-olds to question who they are. I think I'm a boy, but my teacher says I may not be. I think that I like girls, but maybe, I don't know. We're talking first grade, second grade. And you think about that today. Serving the God of this world, and they want you, and they want to serve their own flesh. We know choices come when we're not committed to the Lord like we should be. My friends, it's more than just coming to church. You know that. It's more than just reading your Bible occasionally. It's more than just not sinning. It's so much more. We're committed and surrendered to Him. We're not compromising with the world. You compromise their structural integrity. Structures can be compromised, meaning they do not and will not hold up. And we must, thirdly, let me say, be careful about comparing ourselves. We give in to the gods in this world that are around us when we give in. We give in. We compare ourselves. Let me say again, the enemy of contentment is comparison. Paul says to the church at Corinth, remember that? What's he say? Don't compare yourself among yourselves because that's not wise. What's he saying? It's not wise. It's not going to benefit you. I've warned against this for years now. But social media will kill your contentment. Because everything on social media is always about comparison. We had a good high day at church. We had 600 people. Little churches are going, oh. You know, they always take those pictures of everything. We had a party and we had all these people. Oh, why? Your cousin and your sister and your brother, they all post all this stuff. And you're going, man, we don't got that. We don't have, don't get away from that junk, nonsense. Post about Jesus Christ. Post about the Lord and how good He is, all of that. That's what it does though, doesn't it? Oh, it's not wise. Don't compare yourself to people around you. Yeah, they got a better relationship maybe. They've got better things. And by the way, what they post on there, they get everyone together. I said this before. They get together for a picture and everyone looks perfect. They look like Ken and Barbie. All the kids are smiling. I said that at Christmas time. We got together and did a postcard. And we in the picture, it was just perfect. We all smiled. And that we got comments. We mailed it out, you know. Oh, so good, perfect. Do you know what happened prior to that flash of that camera? Shut up and sit still. Snap. You know, that's how it is, isn't it? And you got the guys at the gym and all these things. They post on social media. My friends, get away from that stuff. It's comparison, isn't it? So we can go back. We can give in. We can go forward. I must conclude here on my last one. Amen. We can then go forward. Notice what he says then. Okay. In whose land you dwell. But then he says this. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You have a couple choices now. Now the thing about God, let me remind you, is He is a gentleman. And I say that very reverently. He will not twist your arm to serve Him. He will not make you serve Him, will He? Never has, never will. Jesus said repeatedly in the New Testament to the people He approached, He said, listen, you can come follow Me. He doesn't say, follow Me now. What's He say? You come follow Me. The rich young ruler comes to Him one day and says, Lord, I'll follow You wherever You go. They said, wow. He'd give up all that to follow Jesus. He says, okay, go home and do one thing for Me. Sell all you have and then come back and follow Me. And the Bible says He turned around and walked away sorrowful because He refused to give up anything for Jesus Christ. It was all talk. It's all talk. That's a lot of Christianity. It's all talk. It's all talk. Talk is cheap. Jesus requires action. Jesus says, you follow Me. Joshua says, I will serve God and my family will serve the Lord. And you know he proved it, didn't he? He proved it. Joshua, if you study his life, he never once compromised. He had some issues. They messed up a couple times. We know that. He didn't seek the Lord like he should have in that one occasion. But besides that, he was an honest man of God. I'll say it that way. As for me and my house. Now, let's notice this. We have the choice now to go forward. And this is what I want to encourage you with today. Go forward for Him. Go forward. He says, first of all, as for me. Me. The personal accountability. John the Baptist looked out on the seashore one day and he saw Jesus Christ coming along the way and he stops and he bows down and he points his finger and says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And they come to him and say, John, are you that Christ? He says, no. I'm not worthy to bow down and unlatch his sandals. And then he makes a great statement. He must increase, but I must decrease. And when Christ is exalted in His proper place in your life, you naturally are decreased. You and I must come to that point. Again, where are we? He says, for me. And daddies, let me say something. Grandpas, let me say something. Your family will not follow you if you are not doing it. Before you enforce it, you must live it. We've learned that lesson, haven't we? Mamas, listen, grandmas, if you do not live it, they will not listen to you. We create hypocrites. And our kids get to about 18, 19, and they turn and thumb their nose at God and at the church and whatnot. Why? Because it was all talk for me. I'm preaching to myself. All talk. No action. No action. Now notice, we're to go forward. He says, as for me, me, we follow. We follow. I like the prodigal son. The prodigal son comes to his father and he says, give me. In fact, he makes two demands. First one is give me. Give me. Give me the inheritance. He says, okay, nothing wrong with the question. The inheritance was already the son's. He said, if you want it, go. The problem was the timing. And that's my problem. It's not about what I ask and request and what I want. It's the timing of it that I have a problem with. God's timing bothers me. I want it now. God's timing bothers me. We must submit ourselves to God's timing because we know He knows best. But He says, give me. Well, later on, after all that He goes through, He comes back. And do you remember what He says, the second demand? Father, make me. What? Does He say the head of the house? The lowest of the low. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat? And I'm hearing the slosh of the pig pen. And he comes to the father and says, Father, make me one of your lowest servants. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be the one at the lowest rung of the ladder. I'll be at the bottom. Isn't that fascinating? See, it should have been the opposite. Father, make me. Make me. One day He will give me. I wish more of us would understand that. Paul clarifies what's called the crucified life, where we present ourselves to Christ as a living sacrifice. We seek Him. And Joshua understood that, and he said, as for me, I'll serve. And then he says, secondly, my family. My family. There are those in our lives. It starts with me, and then it goes to those I'm responsible for. You have people in your life you're responsible for. You take care of. Your parents may be a little bit older in age. You're responsible for them. You ought to take care of them. And one of them being spiritual. Encouraging them, if they're not spiritual people, to get right with the Lord and get close to the Lord. Obviously, reaching them with the gospel. You obviously have children and grandchildren. You're responsible for them. Praise God for some in our church. We've got some grandmas that'll bring their grandkids to church because their parents won't bring them. Praise God for our grandparents that'll do that. Praise God for some people like that. But you that are here today that you've brought your kids and your grand, praise God for you, but you're taking responsibility for those you are responsible for to go forward. Have you committed to Him? For me, I'll serve. Do people know that's where you stand at work, in the playhouse, wherever you are? Do they know that? Do they know that's your motto? Do they know that's where you stand for me and my house? We will serve the Lord. And let's close out here. Now notice, we'll serve. He says, we'll go ahead and serve. I'll speak for my wife and kids. I'll go ahead and speak for my family. We will serve the Lord. And if they don't serve the Lord, that's on them. I don't stand before Christ for my kids. I won't stand before Christ for my wife. She has to answer for herself and they have to answer for themselves. Right? Notice what he says. Even if they don't falter, I want them to know, while I'm still here on earth, and with the breath I have, I'm going to let them know, I will serve the Lord. I will serve. I'm reading through the book of Isaiah right now, getting into chapters 40, 41, 42. And he says, can dead lips praise you? Can the body in the grave exalt you in your name? The answer to that is no. And then he concludes this and he says, praise Him while you have breath. Praise Him while you have life. Friends, do they know you're uncompromising in your stand for God? Some today have made the choice to leave. I deal with multiple situations right now as I speak, dealing with multiple situations. He decided to leave for another lady. Decided to go and leave his little kids at home. Decided to go, made a choice. Chose drugs over that. Chose alcohol over that. Chose something over that. You know what I'm saying? You think about that, making the right choice. Oh, friends, I'm encouraged by you today and I thank you for being here because you made the right choice. And I think I know, almost everyone in here, maybe not as well as I should, but thank God for being here. Thank God for being uncompromising in your stand for Christ. Thank God for saying, God, I'll serve you. And maybe you know what, today or this week when you're driving in the car, you're alone at work, maybe whatever it is, or at home, you may take a moment. And I want to encourage you to do this. Say, Lord, I want you to know that I will stand for you. And I want to rededicate my life to you. And I want you to know, Lord, that I'm here. And as for me, I'll serve you. I made that choice. I want to. Things influence us to make the right choice. Let me say that again. What is influencing you to make the right choice? I want to say, be in the Bible, stay in the book, Stay faithful to church. Stay faithful to be around godly people and godly friends. And this week, my friends, we can make the right choice. The day's coming. Do you believe it? It's coming soon, ain't it? Jesus is coming back soon. I believe it. I believe it. And I want to stand before Him, and I want to be a church that glorifies Him. And He would say to us, well done. Enter ye in. Enter ye in. Amen? All right. Would you stand with me? We'll conclude there.